August is Make a Will Month, and if TPR has made a difference in your life, consider making it part of your legacy. Visit tpr.org/legacy to learn how easy it can be to include Texas Public Radio in your estate plans.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Maria de Jesus de Ágreda was a 17th century Spanish nun and mystic. Though she never physically stepped foot in New Spain, she's said to have inspired many native tribes to convert. Sor Maria is sometimes called the Lady in Blue or the Blue Nun. She was believed by many to have bilocated, appeared in two places at once, hundreds of times from her monastery in rural Spain to parts of what's now the American Southwest. Today we're talking to Marta Vera, the honorary consul of Spain in El Paso. She's been studying Sor Maria and translating many of her works for several years. Vera says the nun's apparitions were mostly confined along the northernmost section of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, a nearly 1,600-mile-long Spanish royal road that connected Mexico City to modern-day San Juan Pueblo, north of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
When Sor Maria begins to bilocate, in her prayers, and she has already experienced exterioridades, is what she calls them, or like external events that happen to her that are out of her control. She's praying, and she finds herself, God talking to her, and saying, I'm going to take you to the new world. She said, he took me in the palm of his hand, and he showed me the people that lived in that new world. And he says, they are also my children. I love them, and I want them to be in my family. To her, it meant that she needed to evangelize them and prepare them for baptism so that they could be baptized. And so it starts. She starts to go into prayer and go into a trance, maybe that lasts for about 2 weeks in her little convent room. And the sisters are knocking on the door, wondering what's going on. She doesn't come out to eat or anything. She is in total prayer. And here, the Indians, the natives, saw her. And it wasn't just one or two tribes. She says that she met over 500 tribes. And she called some of them El Reino de los Humanos, the Kingdom of the Humanos, which was not a tribe. They were a group of people that had many tribes in there. And she began to prepare them for baptism and tells them to go to the mission. And she says, you need to make a cross out of yucca, put flowers on it so that they know that you are peaceful. And they go to the mission. Fray Benavides is there, and he writes about this, that there were thousands of Indians that would come and say, we need you to come to our pueblos to baptize our people. So he was very concerned and said, well, who told you to come? And they're saying, well, a lady in blue or a woman in blue appeared to us and told us about Jesus, and we want to be baptized and we want to be in that family. So they begin the baptismal process, and the Indians that were there got baptized. The priest would go to different pueblos to baptize the ones that wanted baptism. She started appearing like in 1620 to 1624, and that was the length of her apparitions.
And we need to point out that she is bilocating to these indigenous peoples from thousands of miles away in Spain. So right. I'm wondering when, you know, these tribes approached the friars, I don't know if any written record of it might exist, but what they thought about what the natives were telling them and how they figured out that it was Sor Maria.
Well, that was very interesting. So in Agreda, where she is in her convent, she has to go to confession. And she goes to confession and tells the priests what she's seeing. And the priests think she's going crazy. And they're very concerned because she said, you know, I visit these people. Their hair is thick and black. Their skin is much darker than ours. And she tells them how they dress. She even tells them who the priests are that are there in the New World. So all of that is getting documented. All the confessions are getting sent to the Vatican. And so Father Benavides is writing on his side to the Vatican and saying, you know, these Indians are coming. They're saying they're seeing a lady in blue. At first, they thought it was the Virgin Mary. They said there's some kind of miracle happening. And they said she was wearing a blue cloak. And she was wearing a white dress and a black cover on her hair. And so they had described her and he showed them a picture. Is this who you saw, who was another Immaculate Conceptionist nun that was from Mexico City? And they said, no, the one that we see is really young. So she was appearing from 18 years old to 21 years old. And they say she's young and beautiful. So he's writing all of this to the Vatican, and they write back and say, you know what, there's somebody that says that they're seeing Indians and they're talking to them. So he decides to visit Spain. And so he goes to Spain and goes to the king, King Felipe VI, and said, hey, do you know anything about this nun? Like, there's a nun that's bilocating. He said, no, but I want to go with you. By that time, they found out that there were confessions from this one nun, and it led them to Agreda. And so, you know, she talked to them and told them what she saw. And so in the book that I'm translating right now and also writing about it, she is asked by Father Benavides, how do I know that you were really there? And he said, because I saw you and you were standing next to this priest who had a very ruddy complexion and red hair. And he asks her, well, why couldn't we see you? And her response was, you didn't need to see me. They needed to see me. And so they had the grace that was given by God for them to be able to see me. So that's how they found out what was happening. The king then asks her if he will be her advisor. And, you know, that's when a long-standing relationship begins with them, where they're writing to each other. 600 letters were written about how he was running the country, what he needed to do, how he needed to repent for his sins, and he had many. So he becomes closer to God, because he was not in the beginning. And really, the letters are really beautifully written about how he needed to pray and what he needed to read in the Bible. So she was his advisor for running the country for the rest of his days.
Marta Vera is the honorary consul of Spain in El Paso. She's currently translating and writing about the 17th century mystic and nun, Maria de Jesús de Agreda. Sor Maria was said to have experienced several mystical apparitions in the American Southwest from her Spanish convent from 1620 to 1623. When we come back, Sor Maria drew the attention of holy men who felt her visions and writing blurred the line between godliness and sin.
In that time, women, one, did not read or write, and she did both. Women were not theologians, and they felt that she was crossing the line into theology.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Sor Maria de Jesus de Agreda entered a Spanish monastery at age 12. As a young girl, she had described visions of God telling her about the sinfulness of the world. She was about 18 when she began appearing and communicating with Jumano Indians and other tribes in New Mexico in 1620. The so-called bilocation occurred with Sor Maria never having left her Spanish convent thousands of miles away. Sor Maria's visions and writings caught the attention of the Spanish Inquisition, a tribunal established to sort out heretics. Thousands of people were forcibly converted, tortured, and executed during the Spanish Inquisition from the 1400s to the 1800s. Marta Vera is the honorary consul of Spain in El Paso. She's researching and translating the works of Maria de Jesus de Agreda. Vera says Sor Maria managed to convince some very powerful people that she was not an agent of Satan.
She was, I guess, questioned by the Inquisition for about 8 days for 11 hours a day. She was on her knees with very few breaks. And the questioning was she on the dark side or was she on God's side? And exactly how was she doing this? She explains, I will tell you exactly how I bilocated. You know, they ask her all of these questions from, you know, did God talk to you? And she would say, yes, and this is what I would see. The book that I will have out will explain everything. I mean, she was so detailed as to God is love, which we know, but God is also truth and love are synonymous, which was really beautiful. And she said that she wanted to walk the path of truth always because she was afraid that she would never see or hear God again, or the Virgin Mary who appeared to her after bilocating and seeing the natives. She actually prayed on her own to have these apparitions stop. And after that stopped, the Virgin Mary appeared to her and told her, you will write my book about my life with my son Jesus. And that is called the Mystical City of God. So the Mystical City was actually the womb of the Virgin Mary, where Jesus' first life began. They would ask her about biblical verses. Because as you know, in that time, women, one, did not read or write, and she did both. Women were not theologians, and they felt that she was crossing the line into theology. And ultimately, they found out that she was a very holy woman, and what she was experiencing was definitely from God. And after her passing in 1664, Spain requested that she be made a saint in 1680. She became a venerable, la venerable is what they call her, but she has not been beatified yet. And the last two conferences that we have had in Rome, to where we actually met with Pope Francis, and the process of how they decide who's going to become a saint is very interesting. But she has already met all of her criteria. She has many miracles, and I mean, she has done some for me and for others, where people have been healed from horrible brain polyps and have come back to live a very normal life. She is still not a saint. We're still working on getting her there. And things are changing. But the way that I found out that she was not just appearing in New Mexico is that in my research, I found that she appeared to the Hopi natives in Arizona. And they did not want to convert. They would throw rocks at her. They thought they had killed her. And she would get up and go to the clouds, is what their story is. People saw her all over. I have been trying to find other natives that may have that story. Definitely the ones in New Mexico all say they saw her. There are petroglyphs and pictographs of her. San Angelo has pictographs. And recently, about 2 years ago, we found petroglyphs in Post, Texas.
So how did you first learn of Sor Maria?
We had a person come here to El Paso who was filming Texas Before the Alamo. And he asked me, do you know about the Sor Maria de Jesus sister that lived in the 17th century? And I said, no. He said, she appeared in New Mexico at La Gran Quivira. I mean, just something inside me wanted to learn more about her. And the more I read, the more I wanted to visit the convent. So the following year, we went to Agreda to visit her. And I had called the sisters at the convent, I don't know, 6 months prior to my going there, and I told them that it would be a short trip. We went in, and there was nobody around. So the sisters are cloistered. And one of our friends said, look, there's a cord on the wall. Let's pull it. So he pulls the cord, and you hear from the back, Ave Maria Purissima. And I said, sin pecado original concebida. And my husband and he go like, how did you know what to say? So, you know, they answer and they say, what are you doing here? And I said, well, we're here because I'm studying Sor Maria de Jesus de Agreda and her connection to the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. And they said, oh, you're honorary consul Martha Vera. And I said, yes. And she said, we've been waiting for you. We go in there and she said, now, what is it that got you interested in Sor Maria? And so I told her the story and how I just started getting this feeling that I needed to learn more about her, to study more about what she was about. And they said, well, just to let you know, she called you. And everything that you will do from here will be things that she leads you with. And so I said, well, one of the things that I'd like to do is meet Father Stefano Cecchin, her vice postulator. And he said, oh, you're in luck. He's going to be here on Friday. So once I got to meet him, he said, you know, there's a lady in San Angelo, Texas, whose name is Tilly Chandler. Have you met her? And I said, no. And he said, you need to go and talk to them. Well, I went and talked to Tilly. And she said, well, you know, she appeared right here at the fork of this river. And I said, wow, you know, well, that's not what they say in New Mexico, but I'm going to keep my mind open. They were going to have a program, and she sat me next to someone who became a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Cynthia Jordan. And most people will know her name because she was the author or composer of Jose Cuervo, You Are a Friend of Mine. It was her one-hit wonder. She had written a musical about Sor Maria de Jesus de Agreda in English. And she was talking to me and she said, yeah, we're going to have the musical. We want to invite you. And it was going to be in April. And I said, absolutely, I will come. 2 weeks later, she calls me. She said, can you do me a favor and translate some of the words that she's going to say? Because our translator got sick and he ended up in the hospital and won't be able to do this for me. I said, absolutely. So I translated everything. And she said, can you do me a favor and say it as if you're a Spanish person speaking in English and vice versa? So we did it bilingually. So what happens next is she calls me and she said, you know, I've had a translator translating all the music because the sisters don't know what the music means. Could you translate the song, and since you sing, which I do, you can make it sound good so it'll fit the music and the meaning. And I said, absolutely. And she said, hey, why don't you sing some of it? And I started singing. She had never heard me sing, and she started crying, and she goes, why don't you sing it for the sisters? So she and I go to Spain, and we're going to do this little concert for the sisters. Well, when we get there, We are totally shocked that the church is full of bishops, archbishops, people of the community, the mayor, ambassadors. We're going like, okay, very good. So we actually sang the musical, which was a huge success. It was so huge that we were invited to Rome to sing it for the conference on Sor Maria de Jesus de Agreda. That in itself was a blessing because we were able to tell her story in song.
Marta Vera is the honorary consul of Spain in El Paso. She works to reshape narratives of Spain's legacy in the New World. Vera has been studying and writing about the 17th century mystic and nun Maria de Jesus de Agreda. Sor Maria was said to have experienced several mystical apparitions to native peoples in New Spain from her Spanish convent from 1620 to 1623. Humano Indians to whom she appeared described her as the Lady in Blue. Marta Vera is translating a series of books written by Sor Maria. The Mystical City of God consists of 8 books that detail the life of the Virgin Mother of God. Vera's translations of Sor Maria's 5th book is expected to be released in early 2026. See the 2018 recital that Marta Vera and Cynthia Jordan performed in Spain at tpr.org. And we close out the program with an excerpt from that performance. You've been listening to Fronteras. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.